morning, we're beginning a new series called Christmas Spirit. How many of you would say you have Christmas spirit? Anybody a Christmas spirit person out there? I see some colors of the season already emerging. And what I need to know is where are you on the spectrum? Are you on the spectrum of I decorated for Christmas the day after Halloween? Anybody in that category? Okay, good. Nobody we need to pray for this morning. Any purists out there who do things the biblical way? I'm just kidding, it's not in the Bible, but you decorate after Thanksgiving. We've got purists out there. Okay, good. Good to see that there's still hope for the world. And you know, but it comes early every year. It always seems to sneak up on you, but then at the same time, it's like, well, we knew it was coming. And so it's one of those things that we want to get in the Christmas spirit. And as we go through the season, you might have different attitudes that emerge in your life. But this morning, we want to talk about the types of spirits that we want to have. As we move through the season of Advent, we're going to look at different aspects of Christmas spirit. And some are our attitudes and perceptions and ways of thinking that we want to embrace, and others are ones we want to avoid. And this morning, we're going to talk about one of the ones that we want to embrace. And it's all about making sure that we use this season, the season of Advent, to get our hearts and our spirits in the right place so that when Christmas comes around, we are where we need to be. As we move towards this, I was thinking about there are different ways that we think about Christmas. People have different perceptions on it. Some people might be more of like a Scrooge, kind of a bah humbug kind of Christmas spirit. We would think of that as an anti-Christmas spirit. And you may be that way about certain aspects of it. I'm just going to confess, I'm not a big fan of the group gift exchange. We do a staff Christmas party every year. I put it to a vote this year. I said, do we want to do where we all draw a name like we usually do? Do we want to do like a white elephant where everybody brings something and you draw numbers and everybody kind of plays the game to try and get what they want? Or do we want to take the Scrooge route and just say, we're just going to eat dinner, we're going to enjoy each other's company, and bah humbug on the gift idea? I was outvoted. We're doing a gift exchange. Apparently, my idea of can't we all just get along and enjoy being together was not going to happen. They were like, no, we need something to pass the time. We can't stand being around each other. I'm kidding. They didn't say it that way. But they were in the Christmas spirit, and I'm usually in the bah humbug spirit when it comes to those gift exchanges. But I'm going to put on a good face and maybe a happy sweater, and I'll be ready to go in a couple of weeks. And I'm building myself up for it. Other people, you think about your Christmas spirit might be more like the Grinch. It's like, can we just get on with it? Like all the noise. I always think of that scene where the Grinch is complaining about all the noisiness of Christmas and all the things that go on. But I would say probably most of us, if we have a negative Christmas spirit that enters into our life, we're probably a little bit more like Walter Hobbs in the movie Elf. If you've ever seen that movie, it came out about 20 years ago, starring Will Ferrell as this eccentric elf named Buddy. His dad that he reunites with in the movie is named Walter Hobbs, and Walter is a New York businessman who's just completely consumed within his work. That's all he cares about. It isn't paying attention to family, isn't paying attention to Christmas. He is just completely consumed with the worries of everyday life, and he is consumed and tied up in that to the point that he doesn't have any Christmas spirit at all. And I would say that most of us, probably maybe not to that extreme, but if we have anything that is not in the right place in our lives when it comes to Christmas spirit, it probably is more along the lines of, you know, we just got tied up and so busy and we weren't really paying attention, and Christmas came and passed us by. For others of us, you might be in the Buddy Elf, the elf category yourself. You were just like decked out, ready to go. Show me all the parties, show me all the shopping, let me do all the things. And for you, this is your time. This is your moment. You've been waiting for this for 365 days to enter into December and to just hit the ground running with all the fun and the celebration that the season can bring. But the question for us is not really what we should do when it comes to when we should put up the Christmas tree or where we should go shopping or how many parties we ought to go to or what celebrations and what traditions should we engage in. The question for us as people who belong to the church is really, what is the spirit that we ought to be in when it comes to what Advent and Christmas is supposed to be all about? The season that we celebrate, it's a four-week season, or at least four Sundays, leading up to Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. We call it Advent, and that word is kind of a word that's not normally a part of your ordinary daily conversation, but it literally means coming or arrival. It's like an expectation, kind of, we're expecting someone to come. We're expecting something and anticipating something, and that's what Advent is all about. And the church has historically celebrated it not only to prepare for the celebration and the moment that we remember Jesus coming the first time at Christmas, but also as a time of anticipating the fact that Jesus will come again, the second coming, as we call it. And in fact, our scripture for this morning, you probably were sitting there thinking, the trees look wonderful, the lights, the decorations, we've got the Advent wreath out, and then Anthony starts reading about the sun and the moon and the stars and the nations in anguish. And it just doesn't seem very much like Christmas spirit. Well, that's because we anticipate the second coming of Jesus. And we anticipate and expect what God is going to do in that moment and what that's going to look like. But I also love something that Bernard of Clairvaux, who was a famous Christian thinker many centuries ago, I love what he said about Advent. He says, we not only remember and celebrate the first coming, we not only anticipate and expect the second coming, but we also embrace a third kind of arrival and coming of Christ, in which Christ comes into our lives with power and the Spirit, in which we experience the nearness of God through the presence of Jesus in our lives. And as we think about what it means to get in the Christmas spirit, really, that's what it's all about. Are we looking and expecting for God to move in our lives? What does it look like if God did move in our lives? And our key question for today is really, why is it important to begin with to be expectant? Why should we have an expectant spirit? If part of the season is to build expectation and hope and longing and yearning for Jesus to be present in our lives, why is it so important to be expectant and to live into that kind of lifestyle? Our scripture this morning highlights just kind of a few ways in which Jesus talks about the second coming and what to expect. And I believe within these words, it gives us guidance for what we can think through in terms of what expectation looks like in our lives and what it looks like for us to live it out. The first we see in verse 28, it says, when these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads because your redemption is drawing near. I love that imagery right there. Stand up and lift up your heads because your redemption is drawing near. You are not only anticipating with your thoughts, but you are preparing your entire being to receive the presence of Jesus. I think about when we gather on Christmas Eve and we all have our candles and we're all standing there just firmly with our candles in our hands and we're singing Silent Night. And we have our heads lifted up and every eye is singing along, and every eye is singing along, every mouth is singing along, every eye is looking straight ahead and looking around the room, absorbing the power of that moment. And for me, it's such a powerful moment because it's like remembering the sense of Jesus coming into the world and redemption drawing near. I think about what it will be like when Christ comes again in final victory. And we experience the fullness of that redemption. As we looked at a few weeks ago in our services, we talked about in Colossians chapter 1, verse 14, we have redemption. Redemption is something we already have. But in between the first and the second coming of Jesus, we live in something that biblical scholars love to call the already and the not yet. We have already received the gift of forgiveness. We have already been redeemed, but we haven't experienced it in the full. We still struggle with the anxieties and the worries of life. We still deal with sin that has a foothold in our lives, even though we try to grow beyond that and move towards holiness. But we anticipate a full redemption. We anticipate the experience of being fully redeemed, of fully being made whole, of fully being, as we think about what it means in our Wesleyan tradition, we think about what full redemption looks like as being completely molded back into the original image of God that was implanted within each one of us, which John Wesley described as being fully in love with God and fully loving your neighbor as yourself. That those two things that Jesus emphasized, that when we experience redemption in the full, when we are made whole, when we are perfected, it will be that kind of full redemption. And so as we live here in the in-between, the already and the not yet, we are longing and anticipating that kind of redemption within our lives. Another thing that Jesus highlights is he talks about what to expect and how we will know that it is near. In verse 25, it says, "There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars on the earth. Nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea." And then we jump to verse 29. He gives this short little story, a little parable. He says, he told them this parable, "Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that the kingdom of God is near." I don't know about you, but I'm sure I'm not alone in this. I am one of those type people that you just need to tell things to clearly. You need to explain them to me. Sometimes people are like, "Oh, you didn't see the signs. You didn't know what was going on." And I was like, "No, I've got to be hit over the head with a 2x4 to know that what's happening. I've got to clearly see the markings. I've got to clearly see and know." And I imagine that Jesus is probably talking to a group of people like that. And he's saying to them essentially, look, you may not be great at interpreting the signs. You may not always understand the prophecies. You may not always know exactly what to expect. But you know when the leaves start turning that summer is near. We know when those of us who have lived in Valdosta for any period of time, we know that when our nose starts itching and our eyes start watering and we are sneezing 0.12 seconds over and over and over again, we know that things are blooming and that spring is on the horizon. When we see the entire town covered in azaleas that have bloomed and have overtaken the place way too early because it's way too hot here, we know that spring is coming and that summer will be here and that we will be running our air conditioning and running up our power bill before long because this is Valdosta and we know what to expect. We don't have to imagine what's going to happen this go around. We've seen it before and we know what to anticipate. And Jesus here is essentially talking in that kind of language. You know when you see the leaves sprouting, you know what's coming, you know what to expect. This isn't something you've got to interpret. This is something that you can see and expect that will happen. And part of living in a spirit of expectancy is learning to recognize the signs. Learning to see when God is moving, learning to see when God is doing something new. And the way that we live into that, the way that we experience that in our lives is we become attuned to what God's Spirit is doing. We attune our hearts, we fixate our prayer life around seeking the presence of God in our lives, and we turn to the Scriptures and we read the Scriptures and we look for those signs of understanding that will point us in the direction of knowing what to expect and what to anticipate. And then finally, at the end of this passage, Jesus kind of gives some language that I think probably we all can relate to at different points of our lives. He says, "Be careful or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life, and that day will close on you suddenly like a trap." You may not be a carouser or someone accustomed to drunkenness, but I think we all can relate to the anxieties of life that weigh us down, that keep us from fully expecting and seeing and understanding what God is doing. Jesus continues, "For it will come on all those who live on the whole face of the whole earth. Be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man." In other words, Jesus is telling them to stay alert, to stay ready, to stay expectant, to not get caught up in the worries of life that we miss out on what God might be doing. There's a way of thinking about Jesus coming again that's helpful and instructive for us. And it's that we ought to live our lives as though we're going to live out the number of our days, and we're going to live this full life, and we have years ahead of us to prepare for, and we just expect that that's what life is going to look like. But at the same time, we ought to live our lives as though Jesus could come back any single moment. We live our lives in that state of expectancy where we know that we're going to keep living faithfully day to day and keep handling the duties of each day and preparing for the future, but we know that it could happen in an instant. We're told in Scripture, all throughout the Gospels even, Jesus saying, no one knows the day or the hour. We don't know what to expect or anticipate, although it's just pretty clear when you read Scripture that Jesus will come again. And our lives in this in-between zone between the already and the not yet ought to be characterized by staying alert, by staying ready. And all of this, staying alert, recognizing the signs, looking for how God is moving, anticipating redemption and moving towards the full redemption in our lives, all of this is a part of living into a spirit of expectancy, expecting God to do something in our lives. When I think about this, I can't help but think about different experiences I've had over the years in which I got to see God move in a powerful way, and I'm not sure if it would have happened as powerfully if people weren't expectant and anticipating it. I've had the chance over the years to be a part of many different retreats and camps and different things where people get away from the ordinary scope, the ordinary worries of everyday life, and they go and they pull themselves away to a separate place. And while they're there, they experience the presence of God maybe in a new way that they've never experienced before. Or maybe while they're there, God speaks into their life and there's a breakdown of something that they've held on to. Maybe something is healed. Maybe something is broken that needs to be broken within their lives. Maybe there's a relationship that's healed. Maybe there is a physical healing that takes place. And the question I've always asked, and I've heard other people ask this as well, is why does it happen when we pull ourselves away and not happen in the midst of our ordinary routine? And I think it comes down to one thing, expectation. When you remove yourself from the everyday worries of life and you are expecting God to do something, your heart is ready for God to move. Your spirit is responding to what God might want to do in that moment. And oftentimes we miss that because we're so consumed with the everyday life. As I think about Advent, I think there are so many things that we do that are good. We're going to come back together next Sunday, and we're going to have a huge group up here leading the music, and it's going to be wonderful. Every second Sunday of December, we celebrate with that wonderful cantata. Every year during Advent at some point, there will be emergency vehicles that go by in the middle of me preaching. We just know to expect these things. We know that the kids are going to sing, that they're going to do a nativity. We know that the handbells, they've already played a little today. They're going to play again with their full ensemble and the full chancel handbells. And we know to expect these things. And I don't know about you, but when I hear handbells ringing, I know Christmas is near. And we'll come together and we'll have our Christmas Eve services, and they will be beautiful and glorious. And you'll go to holiday parties, your Sunday school will have a get-together, and we go through these things every single year. But my hope is that we don't get so caught up in checking each little check mark, checking off each thing off the list, that we miss what God might want to do. A couple of months ago, it seems like a couple of years ago, going back earlier this fall, we had this prayer gathering over in the loft, our other worship space, and it was on a Thursday night. We brought in a guest speaker, a friend of mine named Carolyn Moore, and she spoke, and we spent some time in prayer. And it was incredible to me how a handful of people gathered together, but everybody who seemed to be there, God did something in their life that night. It was incredible, and I wondered, why did this happen? Well, these were people who came out on a Thursday night to a prayer service. You don't usually show up for a prayer service on a Thursday night unless you're expecting God to do something there. But as we gathered, there were people who heard some things that they had been praying about that through the testimony and the encouragement of others, God was able to confirm some callings in their lives and some things that they might be being led to experience in their lives. We saw people who were in need, like material need, and through that prayer time, God put it on the heart of someone else to hand them some money, to provide for a need that they hadn't even vocalized to other people. We had a little girl in our preschool that we had been praying for a couple of months at that point, and she didn't seem to be getting better. They just kept having setback after setback, but the 60 people of us gathered in that room, we prayed for her that night. And I'm not saying that it was that night that changed the whole trajectory of it, because there were so many people that were praying for her. But what I do know is that from that point, she started to get better, and she continues to get better. We showed up with a spirit of expectation. And when we show up with a spirit of expectation, believing that God might do something new, that God might do something powerful, that is when our souls are fertile ground for God to do something that we couldn't even imagine. And so my question for you this Advent season is, what are you expecting? What do you want to expect? Is there something that you've been longing for that you just would love to see happen? Is there a relationship that you never thought could be mended, that maybe God would put the pieces in place for this to be the season for that to happen? Is there something you've been longing for healing in your life, relationally, emotionally, physically, that God might want to do this year? We stay expectant because God will move if we are open to Him moving. If we are expectant, that is when we are in the place to receive what God might do in our lives. And my hope and my longing for us individually and for us as a church is that we would be people of expectation, that we would believe that God wants to move in a powerful way, that we would see that God would do something powerful if we were open to see Him move. So this morning, as we get ready to celebrate communion, I want to invite you just to simply ask, Lord, what do you want to do in my life during this season? You might have something that you, it is a huge prayer, is a huge burden in your life, and you think maybe it's impossible. Would you lift that up today? Would you lift that up and say, God, I want to see you move in this area of my life? Because the God that we are called to follow, the teachings of Jesus, the calling of Jesus, is to be people who stay alert, who stay in a spirit of expectation, who don't get bogged down by the worries of everyday life, that we miss what God might want to do. And even though we might go through some patterns of routine during this Advent and Christmas season, may we, in the midst of it, see where God is wanting to do something different, where God is wanting to do something new, and start to see the signs of how the Spirit is moving in us and through us and among us.